Hello, everybody. Welcome to the House of Lerlemans, where you always will receive a double help in the justice and truth. So glad to have you with us today, and we're going to give you the best because we promise that and we deliver. We're going into the last week of the Walking Dead finales. It was 8 weeks of it, and we have done seven. Doesn't seem like that, but we have done seven week. This will be the seventh week today. Next week will be the eighth week, and the last week where we will be having a special. You're listening to the House of Laird of Oz, where you're always going to get a double help of the justice and truth. Glad to have you with us. As I said, bless you. Come on in. Sheesh. We are going to start off with some preliminaries before we get into the Walking Dead, the Talking Dead, and Interview with a Vampire. The first thing that we want to say is give our condolences to the University of Virginia for the death of three football players who were murdered on a bus coming back from an excursion, I believe, was in Washington, D.C., the nation capital. And an alleged former football player entered the bus and allegedly shot these three individuals and others, killed three, and we know at least one more was injured. And while the press conference announcing what was going on by the police department and the university, the captain came in and whispered in the ear and said that the alleged murderer or shooter was captured about 70 miles away from the university. And we always use that term allegedly. We don't know if they did or did not commit the crime. And we got everybody else now saying that because they usually just come out and say, well, he's been charged and so forth like this. We hear that there's possible three second-degree murder charges awaiting this young man, who was a former member of that athletic team. We're going to try to break down a little bit what we know about a situation like this. They said that he played on the team or a member of the team, but about a couple of years ago or so. But he never got a chance to get in a game. I think this is going to be very interesting to try to find out from the people that ran the football program in the athletic department about this young man's psyche. I don't know what happened. I don't know about the rivalry between these players and the three players murdered. I don't know if this young man worried about his funds. If he's not playing on the team anymore, does that mean that his financial aid has changed? All these things are possible motives, and it doesn't stop you from bringing this thing up. And people don't want to bring that up, but I'm going to bring it up and say it. I don't know if there was favoritism, that he felt that there was favoritism, that people were making fun of him, belittling him. You know, I told you about myself when I was on the basketball team for the college and went out for the team. I went out for every practice. I was the oldest one, of course, that was going to be on the team. And I felt that I was the best one on the team from practice. And I mean from X's and O's, points scored in scrimmage games and blocks and so forth. I was blocking the center a shot. I got a finger injury still right now from a block shot that I made, and it's still tender. I went to the doctor, and they said that it was all right, but you can see when I bend it, you can see the damage. That came from blocking a shot of somebody almost 7 foot tall, Nashish. But after practicing, the coach, and this is not allegedly, this is what happened. His son was sitting on the bench, not in any type of clothing, ready to play or to try out or to practice every day. Leaning back and looking. And so I was wondering, I said, okay. Well, when they start cutting people, before that, they had a barbecue I told you about. Every other teammate or a person that tried out for the team was invited. I didn't even know about it. Looked like you would just invited me even for being an old man trying out for the team. That would have showed some type of culture and showed some type of respect. Even if I did make the team, you know, say they don't think I can eat barbecue. My teeth, I probably didn't have teeth to eat barbecue. Maybe that's what they thought. But I didn't know anything about it. So going and looking at the roster when they picked it, the members of the team, I wasn't on it. After being the number one player every day at practice, I had the gym full of girls looking and so forth, watching me practice and yelling and whistling and so forth at the old man practicing. I'm telling you, they had it packed more than came to see that team's games, but watching me practice. And my name wasn't on it, but the coach's son, who never suited up, name was number one. With his friends, and I knew who his friends were, that made the team. I didn't make basically almost the first cut. So what I did was I contacted what this man didn't know at the time. I was supposed to, I had an employment application in to be in charge of intramural sports for the college. I recommended that with the sports director to be in charge of intramural sports, which I had done years ago at the same institution for free. And he said, well, that's interesting. Let me look into it. So next thing I know, they had a position for in charge of intramural sports and was going to get paid for it. Of course, I put my application in for it. And I think I was the best qualified for it since I had done it at that institution before. And I was the one that recommended it. And my interview went very well. So I'm quite certain that might have been one reason why they jumped on me and ran me out of there, because they thought I was going to be employed by the college in a position and may end up even athletic director one day myself. But when I told them what had happened with this man, they got rid of him. Because I said, quite obviously, he's not an honest man, not an honest person. And he didn't know who I was. I didn't tell him that I had an application in for a director of intramural sports. And when I was there before, I was a sports editor for the newspaper. Well, the situation is that this young man, the reason I brought that up, I had a reason to be pissed. But I took my dissatisfaction out a different way. I don't know what dissatisfaction this young man had. I got results. I still wasn't on the team, which they should have placed me on the team in a probationary period, if that was the thing. But it's going to come out, and I'm trying to let you know before it happened, this kid might have had a reason to be pissed, but just didn't know how to go about it. And when you talk about affirmative action, he may be in deep financial problems now if he lost his scholarship or his financial aid as being a member of the football team. We're not trying to make him the victim over the three murdered ones and the ones who are injured and the loved ones left behind or the university, but we're just trying to prompt you for the defense. I had a defense to be pissed to contact the board and contact the athletic director and so forth. And that is what took place. Okay. We'll see what happened there. Secondly, there's been a airplane crash at an air show in Dallas, Texas, where a bomber and a fighter plane crashed into each other. So allegedly, the fighter plane was told by the ground control to go ahead of this plane, this bomber. They supposedly are on the same flying team and have flown in air shows before. And looking at interviews that this pilot of the Spitfire, as they call it, says that safety was prominent in his mind. But you can see his plane is going straight into the bomber. The bomber is flying straight. So you would wonder why he did not fly side by side of the bomber, level, and then let him know he's going ahead. And I don't know what communications they had from ground control with each plane. Could there be a cross communication between planes? But they crashed, killing all on board of the bomber. Six people in all, I believe, lost their lives. Some who are former military pilots and airline pilots. So I go out that way to all involved and watch that. As I said, I believe that I don't know if he had some type of medical emergency, the one in the fighter plane, or a malfunction of some type of problem with his plane that made him even pitch the wing down and fly into the bomber. But that will come out with the FAA later on. Also, speaking about aviation, the secret military plane has landed. And we know the Eagle has wings, it has landed. And to look at it, from what I see, unless it's what they showed was a picture of it before it went up, it looks almost brand new. And that's what I told you before, and especially with some of these flights, is that I didn't like that the vehicle was returning, looked like charred and blackened, where any insignia or whatever on the vehicle was gone, any markings. So if had to land in a foreign country or on another planet, would they even know where it came from? Because if it went down in the type of atmosphere of Earth, would it burn off all of the emblems, the American flag or United Nations flag or whatever, Russian flag? You know, by the way, that the China has now completed supposedly a space station. And they're talking about the bathroom and the restroom said this beat anything on the International Space Station. You know, that's one of the problems they always have is the restroom. But I'm glad that if it shows exactly what I said, that they needed to do something with that paint job, because if you can't get paint to be durable enough to last more than one flight, where the vehicle is burned and charred, we know the effect of reentry into the atmosphere of Earth. But with the return of this special military vehicle that looks like it's just went up or never went up, I would say I was on the right track. I was the only one that said that. The only one that thought that was an important issue. And I just gave you some of the prominent things that I believe in that. We're going to talk about space. We'll talk about aliens. We're going to talk about Roswell and other things, and the Pentagon papers on UFOs and so forth, and try to do that before the end of the year. We're picking up speed. Things are happening here. I have some things that I had to work out today because they try to always get your boy. I found some strange things on my computer internet, how they try to change certain passwords and things, and that they were trying to enter my email 3 or 4 times the same day, and it wasn't me. That I seem to be, as an old man, on some young folks, or government, or police department, or whatever, FBI, CIA, Russia, or China, somebody is interested in the old boy, enough to put time and money behind these things. And we know that for a fact. So to get off of the space and aeronautics and get on the Donald Trump's daughter, Tiffany, just got married, and I won't get into the cropping out of a picture, but of course, dancing with his daughter, standing on her dress, that's the Donald. But the Donald has a news conference tomorrow where it's believed that he's going to announce for the presidency one more time. I believe that he's not necessarily actually want the office of president. If he can get it, he wants it, but I don't think he actually wants to go through the campaign for the office. He wants it to just come through attrition, that he just gets it like through osmosis. You know, it just seeps in, and as far as your president, and he's talking about the documents, that's secret documents that at Mar-a-Lago, as he has cleared that as being the president. He says, I can take what I want, which maybe you can if you're president, but when you out of office and the next president is sworn in, any documents that you have taken and have not cleared becomes thievery, just like I told you about the little boy the other day in the ice cream cone with his mother. That's thievery. You might think it's cute. You might chuckle and say adorable. The kid in his closet with an ice cream cone, but his mother told him that he couldn't have it until he finished his tacos, which he had not even put on the table yet. And somehow this little kid went in there and stole, which he did, unless Pappy or somebody gave it to him, and that was never said, the ice cream cone. And sat in his drawers. He can't even get his pants on. I don't know if he was told to get dressed, to take a bath before dinner. But his mind was doing other things other than what he was instructed to do by his mother. Then he's telling me, oh, I got space and place for the tacos after this ice cream and so forth. I'm going to turn this back on the mother, go back and sit down and eat again. Oh, that couldn't have been my mother or my father or me. And sheesh. I don't think that's adorable. And the Donald's stealing documents is not adorable and cute and presidential. And he supposedly lost the election, midterm election, for several people such as Dr. Oz and so forth, who might have fared better if he never showed up and never put his name connected with their campaigns. But they didn't listen to the Larry, to the Lamonts, when I was telling you this before, that they should have steered clear of Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is poison for the Republican Party. And the Republican leadership know that and said that. Now you got this back and forth, where they are kissing the Donald behind and then wanting to testify against him. You got more people who work with Donald Trump as president and work with Mike Pence as vice president, who testified to the congressional committee on the insurrection and coup attempt, that there was no action of the president to stop the coup. Tonight, after our show, which I will be watching the ABC special in defense of the president by David Muir and the ABC News team, and what they have already shown is that Mr. Pence, Vice President Pence, has stated that he felt that Trump was part of the problem. As you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And he was part of the problem of the insurrection. So I'm looking to see what else he's going to say about the president afterwards at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We're going to look and hear what he has to say about the Donald. Sheesh. And we'll probably talk about that on our Friday show. We're trying to give you all information now, because we're going to talk about the Walking Dead, the Talking Dead, and Interview with a Vampire in the second half hour of our show. You listen to the House of Larry DeMoss, where you always get a double help of the justice and truth. We look forward to you listening to us. And if you want to be a patron, we appreciate that. We want you to show your love and your affection for the old boy by dropping a few coins in the kitty, in the hat. We're passing the hat around, or make it seem like it's church. We're passing the plate around. Amen. You know, give like you believe. Give till it hurts. It don't have to hurt you too much. But everything that you put in the hat will be used for the show. And we give you the best show in the world. The things that we told you on the topics already, no one else has said. What we're going to tell you about The Walking Dead, The Talking Dead, and Interview with a Vampire, they're not going to tell you those things. But we're going to get those shows and get it up and running. The show Reginald the Vampire by Jake Latman, who is the star of the show. I warned him what they were going to do with him on that show. He's almost been replaced as being the main character of his own TV series, because he did not maintain control of it from the start. And he needs to do as a number of African Americans and Latin Americans and so forth have complained and said, look, I don't like how you're doing my character. You know, one character in The Walking Dead said the other day he didn't like the way they did his character. Well, he needed to speak up at the time. And to see that Jacob is always the buffoon, bald-headed, little fat Asian man that they're making fun of and laughing at, not because of the comedy, but because he's doing slapstick while the others are doing drama. So you got really the dramedy going on. The rest of the people are interesting, more interesting than his character. So he has to pick up the slack and communicate with the show and let them know, look, through his agent and so forth, I'm the big kahuna here. The show has my name on it. If you want it to stay on there, you're going to have to up the kitty, which means up the writing. Let's talk about writing. The Black Panther has been shown this last weekend, Veterans Day weekend. And it's become the second highest grossing film with over $180 million during its weekend premiere. It's doing very well. They're not still trying to say that this other guy created the character. Like I said, I've yet to see anybody stand up and say, I've heard that somebody else created it. Or even when I stated, just as I did today on a site, I heard him say that before. Why don't you look into it? Why don't you interview him? Why don't you interview Marvel or Disney? You can't interview the other guy because he's long dead. Dead now, about 2 years or so. So they're talking about what need to be done. Winston Duke, who lost his mother in October, Mama Coco, as they call her, and his sister, Dr. Cindy. I know the mother always was there with her son at premieres and so forth. He just like me. He didn't have any other woman. He had his mom. I know he probably got a woman, but his mother was there with him. So our condolences go to him. And I give love. I think he probably need to be the next Black Panther. And I told you what need to be done. I now have to wait until it come out because I couldn't go to the premiere. It's so late. When it's shown and no transportation, not even taxi cab here, so I couldn't even get a cab and go and come back home safely. And I was going to try to get this old guy who rides me around to try to take me there and bring me back. I'd be waiting outside and he's sleeping, you know, and I can't fault him for that. But maybe things will change and I'll get me a little hoopsie by next year. We're now about ready to head into the second aspect of our show, which is The Walking Dead, The Talking Dead, and Interview with a Vampire. Next week will be the last week on Monday that we will be doing our critique of The Walking Dead. Of course, Interview with a Vampire will continue. I'm not sure what they're going to do with Talking Dead because they got some spinoffs from that. But we're going to have a watch party next Sunday. As I say every Sunday, watch with me. We're not going to be on the air at the time, but in our hearts and so forth, we're watching it together. Now, I'm going to start off by saying about The Walking Dead. Before I get into the episode, I'm going to state what some people have stated about Pamela and the little enclave that she set up, the Commonwealth. I heard in The Talking Dead, there's supposed to be 50,000 people there. You know, I was asking about the population. They said that it's over 50,000 people. Oh, I would have it up and running better than that if I had 50,000 people. And I know the 50,000 people, you're going to have all type of artisans and professionals and thinkers, tinkerers, laborers, machinists, people that was in the trade unions. You're going to have at least one from each, you know, column A, column B, column C. But we didn't have that in The Walking Dead. All we had is stormtroopers walking around in their plastic armor that looked like it had to be uncomfortable to address in that. Even the knights didn't have on their armor 24 hours a day. They got out of the armor at some point. But you didn't see that in The Walking Dead. The first thing I want to say is that they stated that Rick Grimes made mistakes just like Pamela did. And every leader of the conclave did. The governor, Negan, Rick, and Michonne. Rick started out, I'm the only one that's going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you what should have happened. Rick started out as a police officer who had car trouble. Supposedly ran out of gas. They showed two different images of that, so I don't know which one they want me to believe on. And I will say that I think that Rick, some people believe, as I stated before, probably is still in a coma, is going to wake up from it. But what, if you look at the situation, when Rick came out of the coma, supposedly, and was in Morgan's home and went to the police department and armored up, you know, got a new clean uniform probably out of his locker, his gun, his badge. It's supposedly 700 rounds of ammo. To me, it was dereliction of duty for Rick Grimes, Officer Grimes, to leave that suburb, which I think it's a suburb of Atlanta. They never really stated that. And to go off, lallygagging around trying to find his wife and his son, which would have been important to me. But his first job would have been, while trying to find them and contact them through cell phone and so forth, should have been trying to find the rest of the officers he's with. Why would he take 700 rounds from his community there that needed it to fight their own battles against the zombie swarms? He didn't know what was going on, but he knew that he could take long arms, communication devices, which he gave one to Morgan and his son, Dwayne, to keep in contact with. We never see him once attempt to contact, as far as I know, the police chief, contact the fire department. He never got on the radio and tried to get anybody, as far as I know, to say, look, I'm alive and I'm out the hospital. I'm trying to find out where are we supposed to meet as officers for so-and-so a village or township. Before he took off looking for his wife and his son, which should have been done with the blessing of the chief of police or the mayor, he took off without asking anybody, which actually would makes that he took the weapons and so forth thievery. Hear me out. Legally, he stole the weapons from that police department that he was not authorized to take out. He gave some weapons to Morgan and his son, which he was not authorized to do. He didn't know what his position was. He assumed that he was chief of police and mayor all in one. So that's one of the first things that I want people to realize, that Rick Grimes started that way. Then he went to Morgan's house and wanted to start to give orders and this is what we need to do. And when they went to the police station, then he went to Herschel's little estate. And he and Shane and his wife, Lauren and Coral and the others, overstayed the welcome with Herschel and his daughters. And Herschel told him, you can't stay here. I took care of your wounds and I fed you and gave you clean water and did what we could for you, but you got to move on. He told him, he said, go to one of the ranches or farms right next door. I'm pretty sure they are empty from what I've seen. But instead of going to those places, Rick decided to start his thievery right away by having private meetings with his own people, as he has done all along, and as all the leaders have done, to double cross somebody nice to them. So they were going to double cross Herschel. If Herschel didn't come around, they were going to make Herschel come around or even kill Herschel and his daughters just to stay on the property, which to me is ridiculous. But this is the leadership of Rick Grimes and Shane and the others. I would have told him, no, the man don't want us here. I don't want to be looking into the mouth of a shotgun. Because the daughters knew how to use weapons, you know, Maggie and Beth, and I would not have wanted that to happen. And if they had the sense, they would not have wanted that to happen. And sent scouts, just as in the Bible, to go look and see what's ahead of us. Look at the village and come back and tell us what you find. He did not have that sense to send anybody out to reconnaissance the area. Maybe there was a farm or a ranch close by that had running water, that had a farmhouse, may have had outbuildings where everybody could have been made, where everybody could have had a place to stay. They could have farmed, maybe could have had a fishing pond. They could have caught fish or a river or hunted, which showed that they were doing there where they found out about Herschel because Otis shot Coral. So eating the wild animals really didn't affect them. And that's another thing. We don't know actually now what caused the problem. I mean, you got one show left and you still have not explained, because everybody's trying to steal from the other person. That we're going to get into the last episode we saw last night. But that started, as I said, with Morgan. And, started in the village before you left the hometown. Then started with Morgan. Then started with Herschel and others. Every place they went, they always were talking about, and especially when Michonne come, they had a conclave with Daryl and Carol and Rick and so forth. Never with a vote by everybody. And you didn't see, like, the council that Pam had, which black people and Asian people and older people had a vote. Of course, you had Dale there at the beginning. Dale was one of the voices of reason. And he kept looking at these people. These people are crazy. The same look that I would have gave them. That, you mean I'm stuck with these nutcases, these violent people that were didn't want to go get their own. They wanted to take somebody else's things. That's including Rick and Michonne. I could not consider them to be my heroes because they were worse than Robin Hood. Robin supposedly stole from the rich and gave to the poor. These people stole from anybody that had and who were willing to share, but they wanted to take it all and be in control of it. So last night's show, we saw the same thing that happened on all the other shows. Of course, they're shooting at each other. But little Judith gets shot after walking with the swarm and some of these other people. Another young girl gets bitten arm, so they got to cut off the damaged part of her arm, and others are swept away, and so forth. We don't know exactly what's happened to all these people. I don't even know a lot of the characters' names because I stopped watching. But the situation is, take for instance, when they called Mercer, and Mercer supposedly gave them information on how to get safely out, which was to go through tunnels and go through the train station. And what happened? We see these people that are supposed to know how to be leaders don't know how to be a leader. Daryl should have known, first of all, somebody need to go out when they came out of the tunnel, go out and look to see what was going on. Daryl didn't do that. One person was called a scout. Very important in military, police work, or anything else. You got the scout. You got the investigator. You got the person many times that try to blend in. A scout could have let them know this is a trap. Don't come out and get shot. Even if the scout got shot, that's a call having the point. No one else is going to tell you that. They don't know. See, I would have said, wait a minute now, brother. Don't everybody run out there at once looking around. And they got the high ground. You see balconies and so forth up there. You don't know what's up there. Let us get a look. Even if I had to go look myself, I'm going to say, y'all be cool and stay back until I let you know it's clear. And that is, give a hand signal. You don't have to say anything. You raise your hand. You know, I told you the other day, simply raising a hand. Well, they didn't do that. Then all hell broke loose. Because of bad leadership from these people that know every doggone thing. And a bunch of them got shot by even Pam, I think Pam supposedly shot Judith. How much sense does it make to keep doing boneheaded moves such as this? And as I said before, and one guy said today, I said before, 11 years into the pandemic and they still got vehicles. Not only running vehicles, not only they got running vehicles, they got gasoline and petrol. Somebody got to be, getting this and pumping this out of the ground. That's why I'm saying, if you got people that know how to do these things, it's like pumping water or pumping petrol or an oil and how to refine it to get the refineries going and so forth like that. You're not going to have petrol. You can get that out of your mind. Petrol is going to probably be used up. Petrol that's in some of the vehicles are probably going to be turned to water with age. it ain't worth, you know, trying to start it up. Jay Leno, today, by the way, supposedly started his 1909 steamer car up that you got to start at, like the pilot light, and the gas spewed in his face, and he got a gas burn on his face, and he's hospitalized. Said that he thinks it'd take about a couple of weeks, and he'd be out. Probably have a I would imagine still have a bandage on his face in 2 weeks a time. Probably still red and swollen. So he's probably still have the bandage on his face. We wish him well. But these are things that they just more interested in telling you the story of take from each other. No cooperation, especially no cooperation between people of color. So you listen to the Negons. And Negon even said this week on the show, he said, I don't blame you for not trusting me. I wouldn't trust myself either. Just one act. And like Eugene said, can one act of goodness make a man good? And, somewhat. But as I told you, like Marcellus told the boxer the other, you know, in Pulp Fiction, when you get gone, stay gone, or you be gone. So with Negan and his wife, the black woman, Eugene and the black woman, if I was Mercer, I'd be royally pissed at my sister for making a choice of Eugene in the first doggone place. So I would have a problem with Sister Girl. Oh, we would be have big doo-doo. Knee deep. If that was my sister, my daughter, my mother, and so forth, and she went and got a white guy that's double-crossing everybody, even his own other white people, that you trusted him and bringing him with his feet under my table, in my house, telling him my secrets? Negro, are you crazy? Sheesh. That's what I would want to know. You got me twisted. Because you're my sister, you know, like Denzel said in America, gangster to his brother when his brother was showboating and took all the money that he was getting and bought all the clothes and jewelry and so forth, a big hat set on the side of his head and platform shooting, he walking like a pimp and so forth. He said, if you weren't my brother, I had to kill you. Sheesh. Well, see, that's what I would tell Max. You know, I'm pissed at you right now. So you got Eugene, and he's going to do one act of goodness, even if it saved my life. I still got a problem with that. I'm going to remember all of the bad that he tried to take my life. The sheesh. So let's get into the interview with a vampire. Now, you got Claudia, Lee, and Louis, and they piss with each other. I tell you, I love the young actress of play Claudia, and I think that she will be nominated or should be for an Emmy, People's Choice Award, and so forth like that, because I think that she's a dynamite actress that's got so deep in the part she said she had to go to therapist afterwards. But she played that part to a hilt. Played the hell out the part, I would say. But they decided to have a masquerade party, a Mardi Gras, because they're going to leave New Orleans. And they're going to call in all the big boys and everybody else and starve themselves for 3 or 4 days so that they can really get their drink on during this masquerade ball. Which to me, it shows that Lee really can't take his way out of a soap bubble. Count Dracula was never that crazy. Not even Count Chocula, Ashish. But Lee got let Claudia and Louis tell him that because they wants to kill Lee. They really don't care for him. And he's a person that you really cannot really care for. He really is a self-centered, arrogant vampire. Thinks of himself even with his sex with Louis. What to please him? So it's not how to please Louis, but how to please himself. Okay, so they have the chow down that got real gory on the interview with a vampire. And I looked at that and I said to myself, okay. Now they think they're going to leave New Orleans after all these people are known to have come to your house that they said the devil lived there anyway. First of all, why would people come? That is a plot twist or a problem, a plot hole. These people were looking at them kissing each other. They knew that they were lovers, supposedly. They used the word queer. I'm going to use the word that we used back then, faggot. That's a gay word that I can use just as well as they can use queer. So they were called faggots back then. And you could see them looking at them kissing each other on the ballroom floor, Louis and Lee. And some were getting ready to get their hats and coats at that time. They wouldn't even been there. That would have been a masquerade ball that the majority of the town would have missed. All except for the pimps and the hoes that Louis knew. Sheesh. How do you think that they were going to get the top quality white people to come to where a black man was giving a ball in it anyway? They knew Louis's color. And you could see the talk that they gave to Louis in front of his face. They didn't have no respect for him in front of his face. They ain't going to have none behind his back. Oh, that N-word holding the ball. Hell, I wouldn't be seen dead there. And that's what's going to happen. If you took your behind there, you're going to be seen dead there and thrown into their incinerator. But they needed to do that for the show. But we know as a plot hole, ain't nobody showing up but the pimps and the hoes. And maybe somebody that Louis owed money to. Claudia, maybe, for some of those dresses and so forth that she got. And you wonder, how did she stay in high fashion? How did they get their money? Because the plantation and so forth that they had, I believe, had really dried up sugar and so forth. But they supposedly, from what we see, attack Louis and Claudia, attacks Lee. And they spike his drink, his blood, with arsenic, which to me is a plot hole. How in the world is arsenic supposed to kill or do anything to a vampire other than he can taste that the blood tastes a little off? It's not the quality of blood that I'm used to, you know, the nectar that I used to and the vintage and so forth. But how in the world is arsenic supposed to kill Lee or incapacitate Lee for them to attack Lee, which Lee had more power than both of them had and was listening to what they were plotting and planning anyway. So wouldn't he already know that it's arsenic in the blood and don't drink it? See, Larry Lamont is the only one going to tell you these things. I'm telling you, the greatest critic here, everybody's listening, trying to copy off me. Now watch they pick up on that. But that cannot be just thrown out to, into the incinerator with the dead bodies from the ball. You can see Lee listening to their conversation about plotting to kill him. And he's not going to be ready. Of course, he had the young woman that he turned, and they were supposed to be ready. But still, the guard is down to the point that supposedly the arsenic weakened him. Never heard that arsenic weakened him, but, you know, garlic won't weaken him. Crosses won't weaken him. But arsenic, which is a poison to kill the living, it's going to kill the dead again. Sheesh. So we will be back on Sunday to watch the final episode of The Walking Dead. I told you we're going to have our special show on Friday. And I'm going to tell you what I think needs to be done with that episode. And what to expect in the show. And see if I'm right. I'm going to go over what I told you before, because I still think that's the way they should go. People actually still want the series. Many people said the bad is the writing and so forth. Is. It should have ended years ago. That's why I stopped watching it. Because of Rick and Michonne. Are they going to bring Rick and Michonne back to come to act like Save-A-Ho? You know, Captain Save-A-Ho, which is my saying, too. To save all of the hoes in the villages and the homongers and whatever they are. Are they supposed to make Rick and Michonne come back on horses? White horses, probably. With white hats on their head to save everybody and take everybody to their new conclave? Who knows? You will know on Friday, Flashback Friday, because Larry DeMoss is going to let you know what's happening here in the land of The Walking Dead, The Talking Dead, and Interview with a Vampire. So I don't know if Lee going to raise his happy behind him. We do know that a second season has been ordered. So a second season means they got to have stars. Even if they do flashback with Lee, Lee gonna have to survive and come back for a few episodes. Are they gonna make Lee the prominent vampire? What are they gonna just be a 2-year series and then go off? The killing of Lee is just as bad as when they marked that man. I didn't understand why they put the X on him. Didn't make any sense, but they did. Like I said, plot hole after plot hole after plot hole. But it's a great show because of the actors, the costumes, the ambiance. You listen to the House of Lemmermans, so you always get a double up of the justice and truth. So glad to have you with us tonight. We'll wait to see you again on Flashback Friday, where we will be doing a special on what went on with the program tonight on ABC and The Walking Dead. Sheesh.